It never fails. Whenever I get to where I'm going, there's always something that confirms that that's what the Lord would have for me to preach, and he's done just exactly that tonight in the brother's prayer that he prayed just a moment ago. If you will, go ahead and turn with me to the book of 1 Timothy. The book of 1 Timothy. We are going to begin in chapter 1. We're actually going to look at several different things throughout the book of 1 Timothy. This is an exhortation from me. This is an exhortation from God to all of us. In the book of 1 Timothy, there are actually many exhortations that are given by Paul to Timothy, and has told Timothy to give the same exhortation to the people. And in that, we need to look at that. And there are five of them specifically that I want us to look at. I believe that we as God's people need to hear these exhortations. These are definitely something, some things that are needful for us as God's people, especially in these last days that we are living in. Again, I told you there were many, but there are five specifically that I want us to look at tonight. Now, before we get into that, what is an exhortation? An exhortation is an address or a communication to urge someone to do something. Key word, do something. Remember that. Key word, do something. That's what these exhortations are for us as God's people. And so let's look at the first one of them here tonight in 1 Timothy chapter 1. We could actually read again the whole chapter or the whole book, but I want us to look specifically at 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5 to begin with tonight. Verse 5 says, forgive me, I'm having a hard time seeing. Now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned. Let's back up just for a minute and read what's being said here. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, verse 1, I should have done this to begin with. By the commandment of God our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope, unto Timothy, my own son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord, as I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus while I went unto Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach not other doctrines, neither give heed to fables or endless genealogies which minister questions, rather than godly edifying which is in faith, so do. And then we read again in verse 5, now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned. That's the first exhortation that I want us to look at from Timothy tonight, is an exhortation or an urgent urge to faith unfeigned. Timothy said there, Paul told Timothy that he wanted him to stay there at Ephesus to charge the people. Now I know that we said these were exhortations, but they're also charges. A charge is to transmit a message or to charge or to urge or to command someone to do something. And this verse 5 here is indeed a needful charge and urge and exhortation for us as God's people. That faith unfeigned is what I want us to look at. He exhorts to charity, first of all, love out of a pure heart and a good conscience. And then he says at the end there, and of faith, an unfeigned faith. That word faith there means moral conviction, reliance upon God, assurance in God. It even means truth itself. And the word unfeigned there is translated without dissimulation and hypocrisy. What does that mean? It's very important for us to understand. The word dissimulation means concealment here of one's thoughts, feelings, or characters. And the word hypocrisy is the fact of claiming to have moral convictions, standards, and beliefs to which one's behaviors do not conform. Oh, how much of that do we see going on in the world today? How many of us have been, in fact, very guilty of these very words that we claim? Now, I heard somebody say one of the biggest problems in the world today is God's people acknowledging Him with their mouths and denying Him with their lifestyles. How true is that in the world in which we live in today? Paul says this shouldn't be so, Timothy, and I want you to charge the people with this very thing, that you exhort them to a faith unfeigned, that they don't hide their thoughts and feelings, that they don't hide the fact that they are a child of God, that they don't conceal the very message of God, but instead they speak it, instead they live it by their very lives. And he says, and not to this hypocrisy that they say they are children of God, but then go out and live like the world. Folks, you know it was going on in the time that Paul's speaking to Timothy, and it's definitely going on in the world in which we live in today. That's the reason for the charge. That's the reason for the urgency, the exhortation. He goes on to explain it a little better in verse 6. He says, from which some have having... You're going to have to forgive me. These glasses are a little weird tonight. The lighting is not too hot up here for me because I can't see anyway. It says, from which some having swerved have turned aside unto vain jangling. And what Paul is speaking of here is there are men that are teaching false doctrines. You remember he told him to teach sound doctrine. He's told him that several times. We're going to see it again. Listen, let me say this. There are people. There are things. There is a higher power in this world that wants nothing more than to see God's people turn away from God and turn unto those vain janglings, turn unto those things that the world wants us to get involved in, rather than being true, rather than staying true to our faith, rather than staying true to the witnessing of God. They want us to live like the world. Just look at what's going on right now. Brother Prayed, look at what's going on. They don't want us to serve God. This world, and sadly, this country, which was founded upon godly principles, doesn't want us to serve God. They want us to go after the ways of the world. They want us to give in to every whim under the sun, every little passing thing that goes on. But Paul is saying, you exhort the people, trust in the Lord. Stay faithful to the Lord. That's the exhortation we need to hear tonight as God's people. That's the exhortation that everybody needs to hear as God's people. Stay true to the Lord. Stay faithful to those things which God has given us to stay faithful to. Don't turn aside, but instead trust in God and live for Him and follow in His footsteps. But when we don't, what happens is exactly what Paul is saying to Timothy here. We end up claiming to be Christians, but we show a completely different something completely different by the way that we live our lives. Now ask yourself, when you walk out of this building tonight, are you going to act the exact same way out there that you've acted in here? Are your thoughts and desires and concerns going to be the exact same thing that they are in here, or out there that they are in here? And I hope that your thoughts and concerns are not things of this world that you're bringing in here, but rather that you're taking thoughts and concerns for the things of God out of here. That's what we ought to be doing. That's the exhortation that Paul gives to Timothy to tell the people, in spite of what's going on in the world around you, stay faithful. Not just by word of mouth, but by the very life that you live. The second thing that I want us to look at actually is still in chapter 1. If you go down to verse 19, he says this, or verse 18, he says, this charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which were before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare. Verse 19, holding faith and a good conscience. Listen, which some having put away concerning faith have made shipwreck. How many times have we made shipwreck of our lives? How many times have we made shipwreck of our walk with Christ by not holding faith and keeping a good conscience? He says, I charge you, I command you. He says, I've committed this to you. I'm putting it forth to you that you do these things and that you tell others to do these things. First, he says, to war a good warfare. We need to understand that in and of itself before we get into what he says, because we can't war a good warfare if we're not doing what verse 19 says. But that word, those words, war a good warfare, is translated like this. Do the duties of a child of God. Be a good soldier. Fight the good fight. Live, in other words, fight that fight of honesty and truth. Be honest and truthful. Be faithful to God. Do a good service to God is what that's translated to. And that's definitely what we as God's people need to be doing tonight. Is it not? It's what we need to be doing in our lives. We've already talked a little bit about it, but the enemy so desperately wants us not to. And listen, folks, let me tell you something. The enemy's no fool. He'll pull out every stop. They'll pull out every trick. They'll pull out every mandate. They'll pull out every rule, everything that they can think of to cause us or to make us not fight the good fight, to make us lay down and quit. But he says in verse 19, holding faith and a good conscience. The word holding there means having and holding on to our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, believing with the surety that God has got this. This may have nothing to do with my message at all, but I want to tell you something. I made mention of this morning to Livingstone. I've got, a lot of people don't wear them. I've got two bracelets, one on each arm. They both say the same thing. God's got this. Understand that. God's got this. That's the reason why people are so fearful today, is because their faith is not as strong as it ought to be, because we're not trusting in the Lord like we ought to be, because our assurance in the Lord is not what it ought to be. And so people are being fearful and they're stopping their service to the Lord. God's got everything that's going on around you. You stay faithful. Don't worry about what this world's doing. God's got this. Hey, listen, let me explain something. The devil can only go as far as God allows him to go. What makes us think that this world and the people of it can go any further? The coronavirus can only go as far as God allows it to go. Any of it can only go as far as God allows it to go. He's got every single... There's nothing in this world that's left to chance, folks. God holds it all in His hands. He turns it in the exact ways that He wants it to go. Why should we fear? Why should we worry? Why should we fret? Why should we allow these things to take away the faith and the trust that we have in God, to keep us from holding that faith, that assurance and belief in God, and that dependency up on God? Folks, I believe if we depended more on God than we do ourselves in this world, we'd be a whole lot better off. He says holding faith, that assurance and belief in God, that depending up on Him. And then he says this, and good conscience. This is important for us to understand. The word good means good thing, that which is good, the thing which is good. And the word conscience means moral conscience. I want to read to you some scriptures. You can turn there if you want to, but if not, I'll read them. Acts chapter 24. Acts chapter 24, verse 16. Says, and herein do I exercise myself to have always a conscience void of offense towards God and towards men. Specifically the first part. Void of offense towards God. How many of us can say that we have a conscience void of offense towards God? I pray that we can. I pray that we do. I pray that if we don't, we strive to have that type of conscience. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 12 says, for our rejoicing is this, the testimony of our conscience, that in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God, we have our conversation in the world and more abundantly to you. Did you hear that? Rejoicing in this, the testimony of our conscience, that in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom. Fleshly wisdom, worldly wisdom, no part of it. It's not for us. Everything that we need is here. Everything that we need is there. A good conscience. 1 Peter, I'll give you one more and then we'll go on. 1 Peter chapter 3. First Peter chapter 3, verses 15, 16. It says, let me make sure I'm in the right place. No, I'm in 1 John. I was getting ready to read you 1 John. 1 Peter, here we go. Chapter 3, verses 15 and 16 says, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in God. Give them no reason to falsely accuse. Not allow things in your life and sins in your lives and the things of this world to creep into your lives that they can accuse you of anything. But instead, strive to be holy as He is. A good conscience. Folks, in order to keep on keeping on, in order to fight the good fight that we see in 1 Timothy chapter 1, we have to make sure that we're holding faith and a good conscience. Have to. We must make sure that our conscience is, and our life is clear of evil doings and full of good godly things. Full of God Himself. The next exhortation that I want us to look at, there are five of them. This is the third one, is in chapter 4 of 1 Timothy. Chapter 4 of 1 Timothy, and it is verse 12. Let's back up and read from verse 11. It says, These things command and teach. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, and to doctrine. We can go on and read the rest of that, but verse 12 is what I want us to see. Let no man despise thy youth. Be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. An exhortation to be an example of the believers. He tells Timothy, you be an example to others of what a Christian ought to look like, what a Christian ought to act like, how a Christian ought to talk. And he says, Timothy, you tell others, brothers and sisters in Christ, you be an example to others as to what the life and the person of a child of God ought to be. Not what people have made it to be in this day and age in which we live in. How believers ought to be, as he said, having that good conscience and holding to that faith in word. He says having charity and spirit. He says having faith and purity. Those things are a must for a child of God. Folks, I've said this many times. We're to be examples to others. You never know what somebody else might be going through. Be that good godly example of what a true believer in Christ ought to be. Look at Titus chapter 2 with me very quickly, if you will. Titus chapter 2. And I'm going to read to you verses 7 through 14, but we're going to split it up. I'm going to come back to it just in a moment. But as you're turning there, I've said it time and time again, we're to be a good example to others. We're to encourage one another. Keep on in the things of God, because there are so many things in this world today that can cause an individual to turn away, that can influence an individual to turn away. But in Titus chapter 2, beginning in verse 7, it says, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works and doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters, and to please them well in all things, not answering again, purloining, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing, of our great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. He says, these things speak and exhort and rebuke with authority, and let no man despise them. Folks, this is not just for Timothy. This is not just for the men of God. This is for all of God's children. Yes, he's telling Timothy, you make sure beyond sure that you do these things, but then you are to charge and exhort the brethren to do the same. Everybody says, oh, this message was for Timothy. This message was for Paul. No, this message is for us. This message is for us. We should indeed be the example of good, godly people all the time. Not just in here, folks. Not just in here. Out there, where it needs to be seen. Oh, it needs to be seen in here, but it desperately needs to be seen out there. There's not enough good godly influence in this world today, and who else is going to do it but us, God's people? What are we waiting for? Oh, listen, folks, I've seen it in my own family. Some have gotten so fearful and so mixed up in the craziness of this world, as you prayed just a minute ago, that they have gotten afraid to work for the Lord. They have gotten too afraid to speak for the Lord. They've gotten too afraid to do anything outside of go to church and go home. Mission field's not in here, it's out there. Okay? That's where the light of and the light and the love of God is supposed to shine, is in this dark and dying world. And that's what Paul is exhorting Timothy to do. And he's telling Timothy, you exhort the brethren, be a good godly example as Christians, children of God, ought to be. Are we? We should desire to be. I had love. There were two people in my life growing up, and oh, I look back now and I truly wish that I had followed their example. They were the greatest example of good, godly people that I have ever known in my life, my grandmother and grandfather. I wish that could be half of what they were. They didn't just live it in church. They lived it at home, the tobacco patch, the stripping room, the hay field. It didn't make any difference where they were at. They were living the example of good, godly people. Where is that at today in the world in which we live in? It's gone away. It's gone away. We as God's people need to be the good, godly example that we ought to be. The fourth thing is this, chapter 6 of 1 Timothy. Chapter 6, verse Timothy, we're going to read verses 1 through 12. I can get to it here. 1 Timothy chapter 6, beginning of verse 1. Let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and His doctrine be not blasphemed. Follow with me. And they that have believing masters, let them not despise them because they are brethren, but rather do them service because they are faithful and beloved partakers of the benefit. These things teach and exhort. If any man teach otherwise, then consent not to If any man teach otherwise, then consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, unto the doctrine which is according to godliness. He is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings. He says, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds. Listen to this, and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness, from such withdraw thyself. Listen to verse 6. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life whereunto thou art also called, and has professed a good profession before many witnesses. Now, why did I read that? Paul is giving the example of what a true servant is to be. Loyal to the master. Not giving in to all of these perversions, not giving in to all these sins and all these wickedness, all this wickedness and these wicked things that are around them. He says, "Oh man of God, flee from such things." That he's not just telling Timothy to flee from such things. He's saying, "Child of God, flee from such things. Don't get involved in any of these things." But instead, what? Follow after righteousness. Follow after godliness. Follow after faith, love, patience, meekness. This is the example that we all should follow as the Lord's children. Not allowing ourselves to get mixed up in the things of the world, but instead follow after the things of God. Fleeing away from wicked things. Not allowing such things to come into our lives, but instead follow after these things. There are many things in this life and in this world that men can follow. Trust me. Just take a look around you, you'll see them. There are many things in this life that the enemy, the devil, that the wicked people of this world want us to follow, and God is not one of them. I've said that already. Paul says don't follow after them. Don't be influenced by the world in such a way that you turn away from the things of God and instead turn towards the things of wickedness. But he says, instead you follow these things. As I look at what Paul is telling Timothy here in verse 12, verse 11, this following after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness, I see but one thing that sums all those up, and that's Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. For he is righteous, he is pure, he is holy, he is godly. He is that of love and patience and meekness. The Bible says that if man says he abide in Christ, he ought to walk as he walked. He ought to strive to live the life that he lived. He ought to strive to be as Christ-like as he possibly can. And in looking at this, I couldn't help, and I use this as an example quite often, but I keep it in the forefront of my mind. I thought about the hymn, "Turn your eyes up on Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace." Oh, if we were looking to Jesus rather than to the world, if we were following after him in this righteousness and godliness and faith and love and patience and meekness, we would be less inclined to become part of the world, more inclined to be like Christ. Amen. That's what Paul's exhorting Timothy for. That's what he's telling to exhort the people to do. Look to Jesus and live. What's the song? Look and live. Look and live. And yet, so many times, we look to the world and live. So many times, people look to the world and live. Turn with me, if you will, very quickly to Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. I've got a few scriptures I want to share with you concerning what Paul is saying there in verse 11. Philippians chapter 1, beginning in verse 9, says, "In this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God. But I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me But the things which have happened unto me have fallen out rather than unto the furtherance of the gospel." I'm going to stop right there. I really just wanted to read to you down to verse 11. Paul says, "Be filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ unto glory and praise of God." That's what he was talking about over in verse 11 of 1 Timothy chapter 6, following after righteousness. Being filled with the fruits of righteousness, following after righteousness, living as righteous a life for Christ as we possibly can. Look with me, if you will, to the book of Titus again. I told you we'd be back here. Titus chapter 2, look at verses 11 through 14. What did they say again? It says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men, teaching us what? That denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world." Well, that wasn't just talking about the present world that Paul was living in. That's talking about now. Looking for that blessed hope and that and the glorious appearing of the great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Godliness. Following after it. Not worldliness, but godliness. Two more places and then we'll move on. Look to the book of Ephesians with me, chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Verse 1 says, listen to this. "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor." That's what we're to be doing. Being followers of God as dear children. Showing forth the love of God to a world that so desperately needs to see it. Not chasing after ungodliness, not chasing after the things of this world. One last place, look with me if you will to the book of James, chapter 1. James chapter 1, beginning of verse 1 down through verse 4, says, "James, the servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, of the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh," what? Patience. "But let patience have perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing." Following after patience. Allowing the patience of God and the Word of God and the things of God to work in your life, that you be wanting for nothing. This world leaves you wanting. God will never leave you wanting. Patience of God will never leave you wanting. The love of God. And I could go on and on and on. We could read much more concerning this. But the fact of the matter is, Paul is exhorting us. He's exhorting Timothy. He's exhorting those there to follow after God rather than the things of the world. And for good reason. For good reason. Rather than seeking after the things of the world and turning away from God, as the hymn says, keep our focus on Christ. And be as Christ-like as we possibly can, especially when we see the day approaching. Because it is approaching very quickly. There's one last exhortation I want to give you, and then I'm going to hush. Back over in 1 Timothy. It's in chapter 6. We've already read it. 1 Timothy chapter 6. We read verse 11. He says, "But thou, O man of God, flee these things, and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness." But then he gives this last exhortation. He says, "Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses." He says, you fight the good fight of faith. An exhortation that we as God's people desperately need to hear and take heed to. The word fight there means to strive, to labor fervently. I don't see a lot of fervent laboring. And please understand this, I'm not putting God's people down, but the fact of the matter is there's not as much as there should be. Not as much as there should be. He says, fight the good fight. The word good means the best. Honest. The word fight means conflict, contention. This race that we've been given to run in this life, there's much conflict, there's much contention. And he says, you remain faithful and fight the fight of faith against those things. The word of faith there is of God, an assurance in God and of them that believe. Folks, we must fight the good fight of faith in this life if we want to be true servants of God, if we want to be children of God, if we want to live lives that are pleasing unto our God, and that's what we should be concerned about, is being pleasing unto God. We must fight the good fight of faith. not lay down and quit, but fight the good fight. I'm going to share one last scripture with you, and then I'm going to close. 1 John chapter 5. And this is concerning what Paul has just said to Timothy. 1 John chapter 5. Verse 1. It says, "Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begat, loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God." Excuse me, I'll get it out in a minute. "When we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith." If you notice, there was one key thing in every one of these things that we talked about, and that was faith. To remain faithful to God. To hold fast to the truths that God has given us to hold fast to. To ever remain faithful in serving Him. To ever remain faithful in living for Him. Those of us who are believers in Christ. Those of us who have been saved by the marvelous grace of God. Those of us who are indeed children of God tonight need to. We must first keep the commandments of God, as it says. And second, remain faithful. Because it is our faith that overcomes these very things that we've been looking at. That Paul says not to get involved in. Faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, looking always unto Him and following always after His footsteps, that's how we overcome this wicked and vile world that we live in. That's how we become true servants of our King. And that's what we ought to desire to be tonight. And so through the word of Paul, through my word tonight, I exhort every one of us, I encourage every one of us tonight, that we would indeed remain faithful, that we would indeed remain true to the Word of God, that we would indeed follow in His footsteps, and that we would indeed be the servants and children that He would have for us to be until the day that we see Him return and step out on the clouds and call us to come home. That's the exhortation I give to us as children of God tonight. I pray we take heed to it. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before You this evening. Lord, we thank You for an opportunity that You have given us, Lord, here to gather and to gather around a portion of Your word, these exhortations that we've looked at from Paul to Timothy, from Timothy to the children of God, that we might remain faithful tonight, Lord, that we might go out into this world following after goodness, following after godliness, remaining faithful to the truths of God's word, remaining faithful to You, following in Your footsteps as You've called us to do, fighting the good fight, not allowing ourselves to get involved in the things of this world, to get wrapped up in the things of this world and be influenced by the things of this world in such a way that we would turn away from You. God, help us tonight as Your people to take heed to these words, that we might remain true, faithful servants unto You, that we might fight the good fight, that we might be that sweet, that our lives might be that sweet-smelling savor that You so desperately deserve from us. That our lives might glorify You. That our lives might show forth Your love. And that we might continue in these things until You do return. That day that we all so very much look forward to. Forgive us of our sins and our shortcomings, Lord. Forgive us for the times that we fail You and do turn away. Give us the strength that we need tonight to take heed to these words, these exhortations that we have heard. And let us truly indeed be faithful servants of You, our Lord and Savior. We ask all these things tonight in Your precious and holy name.